Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
We'll be right back.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I will be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player, Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he can fix me and change me and get me over here, trying to do better. Now, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect know-how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Hopefully you guys can hear me. Because this... So I get a new modem here. 773, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Good. Mom Evelyn. Can you hear me?
How you doing? Yes.
Fine. Give us we got a short show this morning, so tell us about your event, the meaning behind it. You've been doing it for 10 years, and it's coming up real soon, within a matter of days. So give us an update on that.
Well, it's called Reclaiming Our Youth Day. I started it the year after my grandsons were murdered. I had three grandsons that were murdered due to street violence. And I was trying to figure out a way to do some positive change in our community with young people. So it's dedicated strictly to teaching our children how to build a sustainable economic base in our community. So it is only black vendors, and it is only black children. And to ensure that the children are comfortable having fun, we try to do as many things that day that involve the children and not adults. We have vendors that come in. Instead of paying us to set up for the vendors market, they pay the children. Their job is, and the only agreement is that you be black and you are willing to hire one of these young people, even if you bring in a child off your block at home. That's acceptable for this program. And those people that don't understand the reason that I do it, if you don't challenge the mind of these young people in a positive way, then you have no right to complain about what's going on in the street because you're not doing anything to change it. And that's our goal. We are hoping, like I say, I'm going to send you all of the stuff as soon as you send me your information and send it to you, because you might want to do one there. Because we got black children all over the United States that are not learning that they will be supported by people. And I'm not saying 100% because I know how we do. But there are black people that look like them who will support them when they're doing something positive. I'm trying to bring back the protected communities where people spoke life to young people. And they tell me, our people tell me all the time, we didn't grow up the way you grew up. We didn't get all of this. That does not mean that you should not be trying to give it to the generations ahead, what you know. Okay, I didn't grow up to block parties. I grew up to sharing parties, where neighbors cleaned out their closets and their refrigerators and their cabinets and stuff that they couldn't use. They brought it out and set it on the table for neighbors who could. People bartered when I was coming up to get stuff done. Okay, so those things, that's how we sustained ourselves until we decided in the late 70s and early 80s that we wanted to be like white folks. So we started spending our money with them instead of each other. And they need to look back at that. We didn't have people getting evicted in the old days because we worked to keep them in their apartment. We didn't have people sticking up and robbing folks because they couldn't eat, because there would be people on the block that would help them eat. We didn't have people leaving their children alone coming up because there were neighbors on the block that would say, I got a safe house right here. Go and get that job and tell your daughter to come or your son to come here when they get out of school. We had men that when we were on the weekends out there on Saturday and Sunday playing in the street, we had men on the block who would be out there to ensure that did nothing happen. Because, you know, at that time, back in the 50s and 60s, they were saying that we were getting snatched out of our neighborhood and nobody was doing nothing. And they always associated the snatching with Chicago Police Department. Because contrary to what people believe, in the black community even today, ain't no stranger coming in and snatching nobody. Those people who are and we got almost 4,000 women in the city of Chicago that have disappeared, and nobody's explaining it or nobody is talking about it. And anybody that grew up in Chicago, no. No stranger is coming in to force nobody in no car to take them out the neighborhood and people stand there and watch it. That person would be in big trouble. So that's what Reclaiming Our Youth Day is trying to rebuild our community, the one I grew up in, where people were safe and loving and they looked after each other. So that's part of the purpose of Reclaiming Our Youth Day. And the other part is teaching them to rebuild the economic base that we had in the past to grow on. And anybody that don't understand that era, I know you've heard of Timothy Black and the book that he wrote about the Great Migration are the kind of things that we used to do to ensure that we would survive. You know.
What's the name of that book again?
How?
The name of the book.
It was The Great Migration. And it was by Timothy Black. And
Arsenio Black?
Timothy Black.
Okay.
He was an educator. Okay. And he had a background, but you need to read the book for that one. I'm going to tell his whole story. Actually, in the book, he even shows you how people can change for a better purpose. Okay. My deceased husband was an ex-pimp. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he decided to change his ways. Okay. And he started a business over at, are you from Chicago?
No, been there or been in it once on Boots on the Ground and I passed through it a few times, but only been in it for a few hours just one time.
Well, you have to come visit so I can show you historical places around here.
Oh, I'm coming back now. The last time I was there was 3 years ago. I flew in just for the day. And that's where I met Reuben, another guy, Pleasant Stevens. We spent a number of hours down in, Pembroke and Hopkins Park. But next time I come up there, it's going to be for about 2-3 weeks. Hopefully this
okay. year. Okay. Then maybe I can introduce you to Quafine, who does this fantastic teachings about separation and declaring your nationality and what it means. And how it benefits the people if we do it collectively.
Mm-hmm.
If we do it collectively.
Let me ask you this now. I know the numbers might vary from year to year, but like on average, how many children participate or vendors are there?
Well, today we are preparing for 200 children.
Oh, that's a
good
number.
For this year's event.
That's a good number of good children. That's a very good number of children.
So I'm still working. Yeah, I'm still working on getting enough black vendors because our problem now. Well, let me just say this: I never had a problem with getting enough vendors before COVID-19.
Uh huh.
Okay, but since then it has been kind of hard to pull people out into you know, large groups and stuff. But I'm still working on it. I'll be working on it till the
day.
Well,
imagine last year or the year before last, you couldn't even do anything.
Well, last year I did sneak and had a small one.
Okay.
But I didn't do it. I did it on a block and not like I'm doing now, like an outdoor big event. This
right.
is just a one of the blocks in Inglewood because I love Inglewood. I don't care what they say about it. The people in Inglewood are great. Okay? They're just not getting a fair deal. They got elected officials, some of them, that is selling the community out. You know, they didn't even pay attention like 63rd Street. That was the business area. But their alderman is allowing people to fast track it. You go down 63rd Street from Halstead to Weston and you see more vacant lots than you see businesses. Okay?
Mm.
And people don't understand that they're going after developers to come over there, which means they're not talking about black folks.
Right.
Okay?
Got an idea. You know, I was going to wait till next year. But I got an idea. I think we can pull off and participate for this year. I'm going to talk to you about that off air, though, about being a vendor.
Okay. If you know how to do it, you can even do your show from there, and you can get the chance to interview.
Right. Well, I got 3 boots on the ground up there in Chicago already. Reba is one of them. So,
yeah. She'll be there vending.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, I'll talk to you about it later today, though.
All
right, well, that's a good number of children to come out.
Yeah, like I say, because we feed, and let me just say this to you. If a child comes and say, I'm hungry 10 times while he's there, they're going to feed him 10 times without asking him for a dime.
Well, there's going to be some hungry ones
there. And if I run out, I got people who are willing to go to pick up more and bring it back. Okay. Hold on 1 minute. Let me do this.
Okay. Sure.
Hello? Okay. Sorry about that. That's my homemaker coming. I'm having a bad time this week.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
And I know you got your class in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, but I won't be able to go because my foot is messed up, so I can't even walk.
I won't be in class today.
You know what they say? I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I also have blood clots in one leg. But now I'm thinking, is something happening with the right leg? You know, they don't worry about me having gout because there are a lot of. I have 95% plant based diet. And that other 5% is usually fish. But even meatloaf,
right, well,
I don't eat meatloaf anymore.
That's good.
I make a black bean loaf. Okay.
That sounds interesting.
I got ladies coming for me to show them how to make the black bean loaf instead of buying ground beef and stuff to make meatloaf with. I make black bean hamburgers.
The best burger I ever had, I think I mentioned it to you. It was a place, they didn't change the name. It was a place outside, it was in a few locations across the country called Houston's. I think they changed the name to Hillstrom's or something like that. But they had a veggie burger. It looked like ground beef.
Well, that's the way black bean is if you do it right. Hello? Okay, I can't hear you no more, Ellen. Hello? Okay, you were sitting to make me start singing. I can't hear you.
Listen to
Wait a minute.
Rich people think differently. So what I'm going to put in your head today is a rich people concept so you can get to understand it. The only difference between successful people and not is just how they think. Rich people think different.
Okay. I had to... calling on my cell phone because my landline is
crazy.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Let me, okay.
But black beans, or I was saying, is the best burger I've ever tasted of any kind. Was made from black beans, I found out. So I don't know what else they made it up with, but.
Well, see, you know how they get this, and this is anybody that's listening. The best way to get the meat taste when you're using vegetables is to, with your other season, use extra sage to it. Sage is what gives it the meat taste. Most people don't know.
Okay.
Do you know what sausage means?
Sausage.
Sausage. Saw is meat. Sage.
I know what sausage is.
Huh?
I know what it is. Sausage, you know, like pork sausage.
Yeah, but you know what they, but you know what the word means.
No, I do
meat
not.
Meat with sage. Meat with
oh.
sage.
Oh. Okay.
That's what the word sausage is. Meat with sage. So if you want to get that the meat taste to it, you add some extra sage to your seasons when you're blending it.
Right. Okay.
So it's it's a real easy thing to do.
Okay, I get it. I'm getting an echo off of this. Your help is coming over now.
Yeah, my homemaker's on her way upstairs now.
Oh. All right, when will you be free? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to end this live stream now because I got all these tech problems. But when will you be free after she does what she does?
Anytime, even when she's here, anytime, because she don't interrupt me when I'm talking or anything. Whenever you want to call, just call me back.
All right. You know what? I'm going to call you within the next 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.